You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
I can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking. Hey, going hot, so hot, just like an oven. And I'll burn myself, I just had to touch it. But it's so fine, and it's all mine. Hey, baby, we don't mind all the watching.
Hi. Hello, Gamecock Nation. Welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 44. Coming to you from the north side of Atlanta, I'm your host Buck, and I am joined as always by T-Bone and the G-Man from the great state of South Carolina. TRC stands for The Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writing at therubberchickensblog.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Rubber Chickens, that's R-U-B-R Chickens. And T-Bone, G-Man, you guys had a chance to go to the spring game again, this past Saturday, and I've got to ask you, it's like you go to a spring game about once every 10 years, and then you realize why you don't go to spring games. Is that a correct assessment of what happened on Saturday?
That's exactly right. It's fun. There was a lot of people there, a lot of people. I mean, I think almost the entire lower bowl of the stadium was full, but there's about 15 minutes of fun packed in a two-hour package.
Right.
And so it gets old. G-Man and I sat there. We tried to engage a little bit, and then we realized that, you know, we're seeing a very small slice of the actual Gamecock football product with all the walk-ons and third stringers. We made it to halftime. We watched a little of the halftime festivities, and then we hit the road. So we really can't speak intelligently of what third string guy might have done well in the second half, because we didn't see it.
Well, I stopped watching it once Jamie Dukes started making a lot of tackles and maybe even had an interception in there. I'm not sure. I was like the only Jamie Dukes I know is used to play offensive line for the Falcons in Florida State. So
you don't want to be mean about it, and I'm not suggesting this, but you could do it the other way where you have to hit 100 plays in your spring game, so you keep running the first string guys out there in the fourth quarter and you blow a couple ACLs. But
right, yeah. Well,
exactly. Well, let me say this. If you enjoy watching guys catch kicks and don't run them back, guys kick field goals with no rush in between quarters, and a bunch of walk-ons hitting a bunch of walk-ons, then a spring game is a good time for you. So,
and a 180-pound white linebacker's wearing number 49 getting a lot of play in time.
Hey, don't laugh. That's our starter.
Yeah, we have been decimated at linebacker. So did you take anything away? I mean, I had a few thoughts about, you know, a couple of players here and there. G-Man, I'll let you go first. Anybody stand out to you?
I thought that, granted, I think only four scholarship defensive backs were dressed out. But I thought that Chaz Elder actually looked like a safety. Kind of reminded me of Culliver back there, same body style. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he had that pick on the first real play, I think, that post pattern that he picked off. I thought he looked okay. And I was pleased by the way Roland looked. I think he actually seemed a little more confident. I mean, he's going to have to be. And Shamir caught a couple balls. I thought he looked pretty good. Mike Davis, I think the few times he had the ball, it's clear that he is, I think, probably the most talented offensive player on the football team. I'm that may be a stretch. I'll, you know, see what you guys think about that. But I think his talent was evident on a few runs, and I think we're in store for some good things from that guy.
Yeah, you know, Elder looked good. Is he slated to be at the free, or is he a spur? Who am I getting him mixed up with somebody?
No, he's not a spur. I think he's going to be a free or a strong. I think the way that they are handling the safeties is they're interchangeable for the most part.
Yeah.
It looked to me like he was playing the free, but I think that he could end up playing either spot.
Yeah.
But he's not a spur.
And he I totally agree. He looked good in a uniform, and he looked a lot like Chris Culliver without the personal foul penalties, but he was, you know, he looked like a football player. Another guy who really surprised me on the defensive side, didn't particularly make a lot of plays, but Kyle Fleetwood looked big. And he was wearing number 21, I believe.
He was bringing it, you know. He would come screaming in there.
He looked a lot bigger than I mean, I thought he was one of these 5'10", 180 guys, but he looked like a linebacker, at least on the plays that I really noticed him. T-Bone, who are your standouts?
Well, I have to agree with Mike Davis. When you watch the offense, Mike Davis is the guy that kind of seemed to have the extra gear out there. I mean, Brandon Wilds had a couple of good runs, but Mike Davis really hits a hole and really accelerated. He had that one run for the touchdown where he just ran right through the middle of the defense. The other guy is the tight end, Jarrell Adams. Made a couple of big catches. Looks really smooth out there. On offense, though, really I came away with more concerns than anything. Little worried about Shaq Rowland being a physical guy. You know, it looked like any time he gets any kind of tight coverage, he really has trouble hanging on to the ball. And I think what you may see is Shamir Jeffrey has the opposite problem. He can grab hold of the ball and hold on to it no matter who's hanging on him, but I don't think he's going to run by anybody. So it seems like those two guys, if we could meld them together, would be one awesome receiver. I don't know. It worried me, but, you know, it's the spring, so you don't want to panic about those things. And then our linebacking core, I don't know enough about our defense to tell you whether they were doing the right things, the things they were supposed to do, but they just looked really small, really small.
Well, G-Man just texted me that Kyle Fleetwood was wearing number 19, so – I guess that's why I was so surprised that 21 looked so big. So just obviously, we paid a lot of attention to this spring game. I totally agree on Mike.
I think 21 was Roberts.
That's right,
Marquise Roberts. All right,
that's right.
All right. Well, sorry about that.
Who is actually a linebacker?
Right. Oh man, you can tell we do this a lot. Anyway. So Mike Davis, I actually tweeted he looked a little like Marshall Faulk on that run. Just he had a little jump cut right in the middle of the line, right at the beginning of that run, and he did. He looks like a first teamer, and he looks like he could be a 1,000-yard guy. You know, Dylan Thompson from last year to this year is amazing to see the confidence in that guy's throws. A Georgia guy that I work with came in today, and he said that he had watched the South Carolina spring game and was talking about, you know, you got that Dylan Thompson, you know, I never heard of him until last year. And, you know, was he highly recruited? And I'm like, well, no, there was no reason for you. The only reason you should be hearing about him is because of his performance in the Clemson game, because, you know, I still remember talking about the day of the Clemson game about 2 in the afternoon when we found out that Shaw wasn't going to play. We pretty much threw in the towel. And, you know, we know what happens. The rest is history. I thought he looked good. Connor Mitch looked pretty good.
Nasty.
Yeah, the ESPN guys were calling him Nosovich. And I think it's Nosovich.
I don't know what it is because, I mean, we can't rely on Spurrier. He makes up.
Yeah, we know Spurrier calls him Nasty. Oh, Nasty was throwing it around out there.
Nasty looked good, but nobody's going to accuse him of having a rifle on his shoulder.
Yeah. And this Perry Orth kid, the walk-on, he was he's a big dude. He's like 6'3", 215.
Put him in linebacker.
Right. We need some linebackers.
Yeah, but I want to say about your comment on Thompson. I mean, the way I would describe him, just watching him, he just seems to be in total control, total command of what he's doing out there. Just, and I think you talk about confidence. I mean, he knows where he's going with the ball. He's directing the offense. He looks comfortable. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing to see. And knowing that you got him and you got Connor Shaw, you know, we know what he can do. I mean, it's very comforting to know that we've got those two options out there, quarterback. I mean, how many years could we say we're going into a season where we feel confident about two quarterbacks?
Was it 84?
Yeah, probably somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Mitchell and Hold. Yeah. That was back before many of the people listening to us were born. And, So special teams, we got a couple pretty good kickers in there. They were knocking their field goals through, weren't they?
Yeah, and I read today, I think it was on the Big Spur, that it's clearly Ard's job. He has won the job, and he is the kicker. Right. So we can all just go ahead and put that little competition to bed. It's over. It's going to be Landon Ard, much stronger leg. And I noticed that on Saturday. He was booting through with a lot more force than St. Germain kid.
And the offensive line, I guess the first few series, they were just like a brick wall up there. I didn't really notice our defense getting through on any of those guys. But, again, I don't think any of us watched it in a tremendous amount of detail. But I'm sure it was fun to get out there. So you hung out at the tailgate with a few new friends, is that right?
Yeah, we had what I like to call the T-bone moment. That's that moment when you realize that you really haven't been paying close enough attention to anything to know where you're supposed to be. I had us wandering around in the complete wrong part of the part of Columbia to hook up with the tailgate.
Yeah,
fortunately, Connor Tapp was very, very patient with us, and we got there, and they were very hospitable. It was great to meet them. Met a lot of them. They kept rolling out new guys that were involved with half-cocked and with Garnet and Black Attack. I didn't realize there were 64 different guys involved in that podcast.
Well, I think it's only Connor and George and Feathered Warrior, who I think is John, who really do the half-cock show. I think the rest of them are Garnet and Black Attack. They write. I guess there's Gamecock Man and a couple of others. But, yeah, I didn't realize they were all going to be there. Was Adam Garrett there?
I did not ever see Adam Garrett. And he may have been there when we were wandering around in the field. But
well, he never tweeted anything either. I think he may have bailed on you on Saturday. Did G-Man give up his real name? Or did either of you give up your real name, or did you just you went by T-Bone and G-Man?
No, I introduced myself. I gave my real name.
I was G-Man.
See, folks, G-Man. Here's the thing about G-Man is he is a roller in Columbia, and really, really in Charleston and Greenville too. So
let's just say this: people know him.
People do know
him. He's kind of a big deal.
He's got to play it a little closer to the vest than we do. I think, if you follow the breadcrumbs, it's pretty easy to find out who me and T-Bone really are. G-Man he's wiped clean. I noticed there were no photos of you guys, on Twitter or any of that stuff from Saturday either.
By design. G-Man's keeping it on the DL, okay? So just keep that in mind.
I hear you.
I kept proposing. I'm like, you, me, photo, selfie, and they're all like, no.
Yeah.
So,
did you frighten anybody with your beard?
I think they were all a little shocked about how old and grumpy and lumpy we were.
We?
You're older than
I am. You're pretty great. The only part of that you're not is lumpy. Because you weigh about 135 pounds, but you're gray. You're gray as you can be.
Yeah, but the gray is not all over my face. I mean, I was clean shaven, and T-Bone rolls in with the Grizzly Adams beard going on with all the gray in it and stuff. I mean, we're lucky they kind of hung around the tailgate. I think he scared them a little bit.
Well, we've tried to tell them. I mean, they obviously know we're in our 40s. I think most of those guys are in their mid-20s, so... we tried to prepare them through the podcast for what we're actually going to look like. And,
it was clearly an interesting, mix because, we walk up and we meet these guys from, Garnet Black Attack, Half-Cock Show. And we didn't realize it, but a lot of those guys were meeting for the first time. They didn't even know each other, face, which, I think is sort of indicative of, the way these things happen now from generation to generation. But, that was sort of an interesting, dynamic going on.
That kind of shows how old we are there too, is we all knew each other before cell phones. So, I mean, right. That was like the only way we could have met was like face to face.
No, it was Gen X and Gen Y completely playing out there according to type. They met through this technology. We got involved in the technology. after the fact. So that was kind of interesting. So it was frustrating, though, because I recognized very early on how much older and out of touch we were. I made an awesome, there's no way I can reproduce it. I made an awesome Toby Cates reference, and nobody got it. Nobody
well, that's because Toby Cates could be their father. Yeah, Toby Cates, number 12. What, 94, 95, right around in that area?
Yeah.
So you didn't have any, none of the conversations centered around homeowners association dues or, you know, public school versus private school or any of that?
No.
All right, let's talk about the real tailgating topic. And I sent out a tweet before the podcast saying, you know, if we could talk about one thing on the podcast, what would you want to talk about? And what do you think B Click Clack responded with?
She said B Click Clack.
Right. She said me. So let's talk about her. She wasn't at the tailgate when you got there, but then she showed up a little bit later.
She did. And I think she'd been there for a while and then left and then came back. And
G-Man said you kind of like were kind of fatherly toward, like, took her under your wing.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I had an expectation of her personality based on her multiple personality Twitter profiles. And I expected her to just be like a whirling dervish, just bouncing off the walls, you know, running from here to there. And it's strange, when I met her, the main feeling that I got is she brought sandwiches and Gatorade and was worried about everyone getting dehydrated. Well, she's just an incredibly warm and genuine person. I enjoy talking to her.
So I tweeted out today, just kind of half jokingly, we'd do some superlatives from the tailgate. And George Stevens, I think he actually got excited. I think that's the only reason he was like, I can't wait to hear. So most in need of a haircut, who would you say?
George Stevens. No right. question.
Most in need of a bath.
George Stevens.
All right. Most in need of, or who most likely to land in, serve a jail time?
I'm going to go with G-Man.
But probably for like securities fraud or something. I mean,
right, nothing, something, you know, big.
White collar crime. All right, George, there you go. Those are the superlatives. Congratulations. You won all except for the jail time, which I don't think that's the one you wanted to win anyway.
George, or as they were calling him at the tailgate, Jorge. Jorge had a beard that put mine to shame.
Except it wasn't gray.
No, there's no gray. No. Yeah. There's not even a rumor of a hint of the possibility of any gray.
Yeah. He's a musician too, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he looked the part. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. And here's the
thing.
Seems
like a cool cat.
For you listeners out there, the fact that I wasn't there, T-Bone and the G-Man were out there blind. Because G-Man has never really been involved in the Twitter side of this thing, period. And T-Bone fell out of it about 6 months ago. I still don't exactly know what's happened. So I know you guys.
Restraining order.
Right. I know you guys a lot better than they do. So
I just don't do a lot of tweeting.
It was a little unfortunate that I wasn't able to be there and kind of, you know, connect everybody. That's what I do. I'm a connector.
You really are.
Yeah. We did get a commitment yesterday from Bryson Allen Williams, which I guess was not really a surprise. I'm always a little suspicious of a commitment from this guy. He had offers from Alabama, some other big name schools. Now, you know why we got Alshon Jeffrey, right? Why did we get Alshon Jeffrey? Because he's from the state of South Carolina. Let me answer that for you. He's from the state of South Carolina. So why did we get Jadeveon Clowney?
State of South Carolina.
Marcus Lattimore.
Same.
Stephon Gilmore. If Stephon Gilmore had grown up in Virginia or Tennessee or Florida, do you ever think we would have got him?
Probably not.
So the point I'm trying to make, here's a guy who's a four-star recruit. He's got offers from folks all over the place. To my knowledge, he doesn't have family that lives in South Carolina. I always get a little suspicious about these guys. I'm like, why is he? And the, you know, Gamecock fans out there are going to get pissed at me for talking like this. But why? Wonder why he picked us, really.
Well, there's a couple of things that might be going. You don't know. You know, some people like to get away. They don't want to do the same old thing right around home. The other thing is, we're not who we were 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's probably his freshman, sophomore, and junior years watched South Carolina just, you know, drag Georgia up and down the field.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe Georgia's not pushing because, you know, Georgia's got weird recruiting priorities anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that Atlanta is like its own country. Really? I mean, there's more people in Atlanta than there are in the rest of the South combined or something like that. I mean, I don't think that, I think they may, you know, so many recruits go from Atlanta to all over the place. I think it's just pretty normal for people there to go different places. I don't know if you're from some South Georgia town or whatever, you're going to go to Georgia, but
right.
Atlanta, maybe not quite as strong a tie.
Yeah, and he's been in love with South Carolina for a long time now, apparently. So he got on the bus early, and you know, thank goodness he went ahead and committed. I just suspicious. Did you ever go out with a girl who was just way, way out of your league?
Never happened.
You just wonder. It's like, what is she going out with me for? There's got to be an ulterior motive.
Like, well, just remember that they're not here until they sign. Who was that other guy we had committed out of Atlanta last year?
Langley.
Yeah.
Langley. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a ways to go. But anyway, nice pickup for the Gamecocks. We're going to do a little segment we like to call
This Week in Dabo.
We have not had a This Week in Dabo in a while. And so we want to talk about a couple of things Clemson related. First of all, the spring game. They threw for all kind of yards in typical Dabo style and set spring game records. I don't know who keeps spring game records like that. But they also had a couple of pretty significant injuries. One of them was to Chad Kelly, who was their backup quarterback. And I was genuinely disappointed in that. You hate to see that happen to anybody, but I also hate to see it because that means that's another year or two before we're really going to get to see him play. And if you follow his Twitter account, it is just, it's gold. I've never seen anybody, you have people who might tweet in all lowercase or all caps, but he tweets in initial caps. So every word that he tweets begins with an uppercase letter.
That just seems like a lot of work.
It does. It's like you're writing the, you know, title of a book every time that you're tweeting something. So it's just kind of strange.
I swear his Twitter feed is 10 times funnier than it's Dabo.
Yeah, and it's real. It's
real.
It's for real stuff. So was there any, you know, being up there at Clemson, was there any spring game nonsense being talked?
Yeah, they haven't come down off that LSU high yet. I mean, I listened to a little bit of their spring game on the way back from Columbia, from our spring game, and I listened to Yannity and Will Merritt talk about this team, and then I've listened to a little sports radio this week, and it is not an exaggeration. I'm not overplaying it. They're talking about whether they're a top 10 team, a top 5 team, or a top 3 team.
Right.
And that's where they see themselves. And you know, the whole idea that the mad genius, their offensive coordinator, Morris, that he's demanding they add 10 plays to their average play, you know, per game this right. coming fall, and that they're not satisfied. And it's just, they're awful. This is the time of the year when they're awesome. And then we get to, thankfully, get into the fall during the time of the year that they're not awesome. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, they will be awesome until November. They've got a legitimate shot at beating Georgia. Georgia's lost a ton off their defense. They won't be able to stop Georgia. But there's two teams that might not be able to stop each other. So
right.
They got a legitimate shot there. And then they got nobody until us. I mean, I guess they got Florida State on the schedule again. But, you know, they're gonna win 10 or 11 games again, and we're going to beat the crap out of them again. Which right. then will lead to things like what happened, I guess it was yesterday, somebody painted a tiger paw on the field and wrote "Go Tigers" in orange spray paint on one of the cockabooses. Did you guys see that?
I saw the painted faded looking tiger paw on the grass. Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know about the cockaboos.
Yeah, the thing about that tiger paw is I think I've been behind that tiger paw in the Dollar General store before, because it's like really big on the bottom and really small up top.
Right.
You know, it looks like it's eaten one too many, you know, big gulps or whatever. That was incredible, out of shape. You would think that a Clemson fan, Clemson student, Clemson President Barker, whoever spray painted it, would know their own emblem. It was just a pitiful, pitiful reproduction.
Well, yeah, they would probably disown, you know, whoever handles copyrights and trademark for Clemson is just humiliated by the
tiger paw. And I think it had five toes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was weird. It just made me feel sad inside.
One of our followers on Twitter, and this is right up your alley, T-Bone. John Michael Gunnels, who follows us on Twitter, asked what we thought the repercussions for the Clemson punks who did this vandalism. What do you think is going to happen to them? And you know a little bit about the law. You know what kind of punishment if these guys get caught? What can they expect?
If they get caught, it's it's the same level of offense as getting caught with a joint or a DUI. It's about the same level. I wouldn't expect anything huge to come out of it.
I have no idea what either one of those things would be. So
I say we just give them one for the thumb. That's what I say.
I think you just say, good job, guys. It's just kind of sad that you do that after losing four in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then G-Man, I think you wanted to talk about Dabo saying that they're the Clemson Tide.
Yeah, he was interviewed by somebody in Alabama, and the question came up evidently, unless he made this up, about, you know, would he ever come back to Alabama, or did he have any interest in coming back to Alabama to coach? And I'm reading the quote right here. I looked it up while you guys were talking. It says, I'm quoting Dabo here. It says, well, I'll tell you, people ask me all the time, but the good Lord has a plan for me. Who knows if that will ever come about? You just cross those bridges when you get there. I'm so blessed to be here, and I tell my Alabama friends, you've got the Crimson Tide, and we've got the Clemson Tide.
That is awful.
There are so many Alabama Clemson ties. Again, this is a place I'm very happy at, and who knows what will happen in the future. So
he's like positioning himself for the Alabama job someday when Saban leaves.
What he's done is he's already withdrawn his name from consideration for the Alabama job. That's not even open.
Right. Oh my gosh, that guy, he is something. So
the Clemson Tide, though, Clemson, there's a new one for us.
I think that's the second time he's made that reference. It seems like he's
hoping it's going to catch on.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So G-Man, I'm kind of pissed at you about this baseball team. Because you've been telling me for about 2 years now that we got nothing to worry about in baseball. We got so much talent rolling in. What has happened to this baseball team?
It's just baseball, man. I mean, we lost a couple of one-run games. Guy falls down rounding third base. I mean, it's just baseball. I mean, the regular season doesn't really mean that much to our guys. I mean, we're a postseason team. We'll get in the tournament. We'll do fine. I mean, do we have as much talent as last year? No. Do we lose our star players? Yes. But we still got a lot of talent. We're going to be fine. I just wouldn't sweat it too much. I mean, are we going to win the College World Series this year? Probably not. But the fact remains, we are a power. We have arrived, and the recruits rolling in are just out of this world. We're good, and we're going to be good for a long, long time.
Yeah, I don't know. The postseason's all about pitching. How deep is your pitching? You know, how deep is your bullpen? And you saw at the end of that Florida game, we got nothing. Back.
Well, Tyler Webb was out. He didn't pitch, so you got your star reliever didn't pitch at all. So you know you got to give him that. It's the middle of the season, SEC game. It's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. So let's don't blow it out of proportion.
Baseball's I don't know, man. I don't know, man. We got Westmoreland and Webb, and we might not even have Webb for a little while now, and nobody else in that bullpen has shown they can get outs consistently.
And, well, they're not as good. There's no question. They're not as good. And I'm telling you, they may not win it this year, but I mean, heck, we won the national championship 2 years in a row and went to the finals the next year. We're bound to have a little bit of a off year. I mean, you know, give the guys a little bit of a break here.
Listen, Demetra, back off. You don't work for the university. Gee whiz, quit making excuses. God, are you and Holbrook go out to lunch this afternoon or something? I'm disappointed in the baseball team. I'm allowed to say that.
No, I mean, I'm disappointed too, but I mean, I think, you know, I guess all I'm saying is the baseball gods have a way of evening things out. And the Gamecocks had a lot of fortunate things happen to them over the past few years. A lot of one-run games, a lot of balls hit at people, a lot of duck snorts, as Ray would call them. So, you know, I mean, not everything is going to go your way every year. And we've had some injuries. I mean, English gets hurt. Montgomery gets hurt. Webb's hurt. I mean, it. You know, unfortunately, that's what's happening this year.
You know, the funny thing is Tanner English. Every time I watch South Carolina play, Tanner English comes up to bat and he's hitting 300, and he looks awful. I mean, it's like I just don't need to. I'm like, how is this guy hitting 300? And you know, I know he does it with speed and all that, but I just think the guy, you know, Pancake, Griner, you know, English to a certain degree. You know, with Roth and Price and Christian Walker and those guys, they just had it. You know, I hate to use that cliche, whatever it is, they had it. And you just, you know, the guys that are on the team right now just haven't. You just don't have confidence they're going to get the big hit or they're going to get the big out. And I'm just waiting on those guys to really turn the corner and start playing like we need them to. But Billy over at Leftover Hot Dog tweeted to us to make him feel better about middle relief, and Billy, I apologize. I don't think we've done it, and I don't think we can. I told him we just play elevator music during this section of the podcast. So what else? You know, I took a shot at Demetra on the blog this week. And I'll tell you who else is just, you know, I'm just holding back because we've had so many people block us, is Cloninger. Do you guys look at his Twitter account?
You can't do it. He's that guy that ruins it for you. You know, you've always had you go to the game with a group of friends, and there's that one guy that just gets too down about it. He starts talking about it like it's a judgment on him personally, and he just ruins the whole experience for you. I know how that feels because I'm usually that guy. But in this case, Cloninger, he just goes off the deep end.
I mean, they're these petulant, childish, you know, passive-aggressive things you – again, the guy's a writer for GamecockCentral.com. There should be a certain professionalism. Right. Hey, am I right about that? Or
yeah, you know what it sounds like, and I don't really follow it like you guys do, but it sounds like Roy Philpott.
Yeah,
it sounds like the opposite of that guy. Because yep. when you hear him talk, or you hear him when you see him write something, it's usually that same level of, I don't know, pettiness coming from his side of things up in the Upstate.
And for those of you listening, you're like, well, why do you follow him? Why do you read his tweets? Well, because we're running out of people to follow. Because
right. It's him and some guy named Kyle, and that's all
we
got.
I mean, I don't have a running list. We've been blocked by Demetra, Slater, Josh at the State, somebody else. I know there's at least four beat writer-ish folks that have blocked us. So I'm trying my best not to just go off on Cloninger because, you know, then we're not going to be able to get the news. We're not going to have any beat writers to follow. So anyway, it's fun though. It's all good fun. And you can really tell that we didn't prepare for this show at all. So if you've made it to
just
the...
Keep, keep in mind, friends, that if you would like the most recent Gamecock news, you can log on to www.gamecockcentral.com, and for a very small fee, they'll give you everything they got.
Right.
It's a good quality service, good writing, good sources, but David Clonger needs to chill out.
Yeah. Is there a reason you did that? Are we going to get in trouble with Gamecock Central?
No, I'm just screwing around.
Oh, okay. Because you're a Gamecock Central guy, right?
Yep.
And G-Man and I, we're big Spur guys. Isn't that right,
that's
G?
Right. You're a big Spur. That's right. I'm a big Spur guy.
Yeah.
Like Big Spur.
I'm really into Cocky Talk.
Cocky Talk. Are they still around?
They're still around, man. They're rocking on.
You like those grainy 1980s videos that they have on there?
They don't have those anymore. But the Spurticus practice reports, man, you can't discount those things.
We're trying to alienate everybody we can. All right.
I was being sincere.
We're going to be eventually we'll be the most hated bloggers in the Gamecock universe. You know, fortunately, luckily nobody does know who we are, really, you know, because they'd probably come after us with a lead pipe, but. All right. Great show, guys. Great show. When are we going to get another special guest on? That's what we need to pull us out of this dump that we're in, or maybe
I'm working on it. Yeah. Working on it, and so just hang with me a little bit longer.
So the Michael Roth thing, I guess now that he's been called up to the majors, I guess we really got no shot at getting him on the show.
He's big time.
He is. I felt like we were pretty close on that at one time, and now he's pitching for the Angels. I don't think he's going to want to come on the show. So. All right. Anything else, guys? Got anything else good going on? Fun?
Hey, happy? Is it actually 1,600 days today?
It is 1,600.
That's incredible.
That is amazing. So, as we close the show, since you mentioned that, especially for the Clemson fans who have vandalized our football field and cockaboose, it has now been 1,600 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. We'll talk to you soon. And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'm gonna leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a good thing. All dressed up in black and white. And you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight. Let me show you a good thing. Let me show you a good thing. Let me get a good look at it. Ooh, so thick. Now I know why they call it a fatty. And oh, shit, so sick. Got a hit and picked up a habit. That's alright, cause you're all mine. Oh, go on, show them who you call daddy. I guess they're just my cause. Girl, they wish they had it. A classic, and you're all mine tonight. And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'ma leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a good thing. All dressed up in black and white, and you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight. Let me show you a good thing. Let me show you a good thing.
Out your seat, Hope.
All black at the white shows, white shoes at the black shows, green car for the Cuban links. Y'all sit back and enjoy the light show. Nothing exceeds like excess. Style guy, gal from having the best of the best. Is this what it's all about? I'm at the rest. The brunt, my rent, disturbing the guests. Years of distress, tears on the dress. Try to hide a face with some makeup sex.